Sabbath morning. I'm so excited to see all of you here. I can't see your smiles, so I'm going to have to look at your crinkly eyes to count on those smiles. It feels so great for me to have all of you here. I hope it feels wonderful for you to be here and to see one another, even though it's a little strange. And a welcome to those who are hopefully joining us virtually. We've been having some technical difficulties again with our new equipment, so they may or may not be able to see us here. Wondering if they are able to see us, if at the end of the service, if rain pans everybody so that everybody can wave during the... Would you be okay with that? Is there anybody who is concerned about privacy that would be a problem for you? That is true. So we are on the traditional territory of the Saunas Nation, which is the original name for the Nanus Nation and the Qualicum peoples. And we respect them and the land upon which we are all living as we move toward truth and reconciliation. You'll notice that some of us are wearing our orange shirts. It's Orange Shirt Day on September the 30th, which is recognition and honoring of the Indigenous children, both who lost their lives and those who survived residential schools. So thank you for honoring them today and on the 30th of September. I know it's going to be really strange today because we're not going to be able to sing, which I think is probably the hardest part, that and not being able to hug each other or pass the peace, because we all need that minimum of 4 hugs a day. So I'm just going to encourage us, and thank you to Brian and to Alex and Chelsea for leading the singing and for Donna for being on the piano. So we'll rely on them for the singing and the music. I'm going to ask you in that time to follow along on the PowerPoint with the words. And even though you can't sing and we can't even hum, I've already checked that out, because it does put droplets into the air, it still puts us at risk. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, you know when you're wandering around the house and you realize that you've got a song stuck in your head? I'm going to ask you to get some songs stuck in your head as we sing, and those will be, I'm going to call it, I've decided we're calling it soul singing, so that I'll know that you're singing and I'm going to be singing in my soul at the same time, singing along with Alex and Chelsea and Brian, who are safely behind their plexiglass. I'd also like to thank, before we begin, Margaret and Jerry and Beth for organizing the garage sales in place of Fall Fair. Thank you for all the work. And thanks, too, for the council who have been working behind the scenes and the staff behind the scenes. Even though you haven't seen them doing their ministries, all of the council and their teams have been working to try to live out their ministries in the best way we can in spite of COVID. And thanks to all of you for continuing to be who you are and living your faith through this really difficult time. So, this in mind, we begin our worship by lighting the Christ candle as a reminder that the Christ light shines in this space and in all of our hearts this day, as we are finally able to gather as a community. And though you can't pass the peace to one another with your hands, I'm going to just ask you to close your eyes and imagine passing the peace to one another in this beautiful space and to those who are not able to be here today, as Donna plays our prelude. Thank you. Now, we might not be able to sing, but we can make a noise. And so we can use our hands to clap, to make a joyful noise to God as we listen to the song, make a joyful noise. And some of you picked up some instruments on your way in, and so you can make a noise with those. So make a joyful noise, all the earth. So much less lonely here with all of you here. It's so great. Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks that you are present here with us and that we are able to be present with one another. May your Holy Spirit continue to move through each one of us, spreading out into your world. Help us to be a light. Help us to know our purpose in our lives, that we might live them fully, to make this world more loving, more compassionate, wiser, filled with joy and hope and possibility. Help us to be a blessing in your world, even as you bless our lives. Encourage us this day in these strange and difficult times, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. The first reading from the Good News Bible is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. Its context is a time when the Jews were in exile in Babylon and longed for the day when they could return to Jerusalem. I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. You will seek me, and you will find me because you will seek me with all your heart. Yes, I say you will find me, and I will restore you to your land. I will gather you from every country and from every place to which I have scattered you, and I will bring you back to the land from which I had sent you away into exile. I, the Lord, have spoken. And from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. We know then that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. May God bless to us understanding of this reading from his holy word, and to his name be praise. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Did you hear about the new restaurant that's coming to Parksville? It's called Karma. Apparently, there's no menus. They just bring you what you deserve. Since June, we have been reflecting together on the importance of being spiritually resilient, of learning how to bounce back from life's adversities. And in these tumultuous times, we need all of the spiritual resilience that we can muster. Would you agree? So each week we have explored the many ways we can grow stronger spiritually, deepen our fortitude. We've explored how music strengthens us, how the sacraments, the rituals of communion strengthen us, how creation and walking in nature helps to renew us and strengthen us. We've talked about how inspirational mentors can help us, how our beloved pets can help us get through tough times and be healers. We've talked about prayer and meditation as a source of spiritual strength, and how silence can even grow our souls. And we've talked about how our faith can help us get through adversity. And today we are going to complete our series on spiritual resilience by delving into our life's purpose. Because when we can identify and understand our life's purpose, even in the midst of life's challenges, we can find the inner resolve and strength we need to keep on keeping on. It can give us meaning for our lives. Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning after he managed to survive the death camps of Nazi Germany, makes it clear that in his experience, it is in finding our sense of purpose that helps us to endure the hardships of life. It is in seeking to be a light in the midst of darkness, a light that refuses to be snuffed out, and insisting on spreading the light, that we can find the spiritual fortitude we need to endure. In our scripture from Jeremiah, that Brian just read, the prophet Jeremiah is offering a sense of purpose to the Hebrew people during a time when they're under Babylonian captivity. This nomadic band of people who have endured the enslavement of the Egyptian pharaohs and were then liberated by Moses and end up wandering in the wilderness for years and years and years, more than 40, once again have found themselves under someone else's rule, living by someone else's regulations, living under someone else's authority and not their own. They are no longer the author of their own lives. Someone else is writing their story for them. And I think sometimes in COVID, we feel like that. We feel like our lives are no longer our own. There are all sorts of new rules and regulations and protective measures in place for our good. But many are finding it challenging to abide by them. It feels restrictive and counterintuitive to our usual sense of freedom, especially in our country. We're not used to following a whole lot of rules. And like the people of Israel under Babylonian captivity, we can sometimes feel like captives in our own homes in our communities, in our country. Yesterday, Rain and I decided to go and protest the 5G cell tower in Qualicum. And it was interesting that there were so many people there who didn't want to follow the rules. And so because they refused to sign in for tracing and refused to wear masks, they were on the outside. And it was their little form of rebellion, I think, trying to find some freedom and liberation and rights in a time when we are feeling rather oppressed by all of the regulations. So in our frustration and fears, people begin to become angry and look to who we can blame for this hardship and wonder, where did it come from and who's responsible? And there are all sorts of conspiracy theories circulating. And we wonder, how long is this COVID-19 going to last? And we cry, how long, O Lord? Just like those under Babylonian captivity cried out. So we find ourselves in a similar situation. We too feel in exile from our normalcy, from normal lives, cut off from friends and family. It is a form of exile. But it is into this experience of exile that God speaks a beautiful word of hope to us through the prophet Jeremiah. God speaks, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not your harm, plans for a future and a hope. I find these ancient words very comforting. They remind us that the Spirit of God is not a punitive or condemning one. We are not in this difficulty by an act of God. This pandemic was not God's plan, because God only plans for welfare and well-being, not for harm. And this passage reminds us that God is going to help us to bring something good and hopeful and positive out of this into our future. Look for me, says God, and you will find me. I don't play hide and seek with you. I want to be found, and I will help you to come out of captivity. The God of Hebrews, the God of Jesus, is a God of freedom and liberation. And so the promise is always that we will eventually find our way once again through the wilderness into liberation. And so if anyone is thinking that this pandemic is an act of God, this passage assures us that God is always, always willing the very best for us. That God is always seeking to orchestrate plans for our well-being and wanting to liberate us and give us a future with hope. But according to this scripture, we need to be in partnership together with God. We need to collaborate with the Spirit to bring it about. God doesn't work alone to bring about a positive future. God works with us. Search for me, and you will find me. Call on me, and I will answer. God is willing to give us direction. We just have to stop and ask the way. And that's where we, the church, come in. Paul writes to the house church in Rome that in spite of all of his hardships of shipwrecks and imprisonments and struggles, that he has come to understand this. And this has been the passage that has been my touchstone for my whole life. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to God's purpose. Paul reminds us that when we are focused on the ways of God, on the loving ways, that eventually life has a way of working itself out for the good. Now, that doesn't mean that our life is going to go smoothly or that things are going to work out just the way we wanted them to. We all know that doesn't work. But that ultimately, everything is moving toward our highest good, the highest good of all, that all things work together for good. That God can help us turn the worst lemons into lemonade. That even out of death and loss, new life and possibilities can come. Many years ago, I was introduced to an amazing woman by the name of Asmina Sulman. She was a friend of my beautiful Ismaili Muslim neighbors, Roxana and Azim Jibrash in Calgary. And so a group of us had an opportunity to meet with her, and she shared with us her experience, which she had written in a book called Passage to Eternity. And she told us a story firsthand of how she had gone with her husband on a trip to Orlando, Florida, with her two young sons, then 8 and 10, for a wonderful vacation in Disney World. But the second day into her vacation, she developed a severe case of pancreatitis, and she ended up in hospital on death's door. And she actually died for several minutes. In fact, I think it was close to 20. And she said in that time, her spirit left her body, and she went to what we would call heaven. And she had an incredible experience there before the doctors managed to bring her spirit back into her body, and she was airlifted to Edmonton, where she was in a coma for 40 days. When she emerged from that experience, she had the courage to share with us this incredible understanding. And this is what she shared with us. She said that what she discovered, one of the things she discovered when she was over there on the other side, was an awareness that we are each born into this lifetime with two key purposes. The first purpose is to learn a spiritual lesson by which we can grow spiritually and grow ever more into the likeness of God. She said, we have each chosen a spiritual lesson that we want to grow into, whether that lesson is to learn about forgiveness, or work through grief and learning to let go, or learning to become a more independent soul, or learning how to work with power and to use it well and not abuse it, or to learn how to grow wiser and more discerning, or perhaps to grow more compassionate, to learn how to be more loving. Just as King Solomon, who asked God to teach him how to be wise, as souls we have each asked God to give us an experience of life, to grow and become more like God, whether that be in wisdom or in love or compassion or grace or power or strength or kindness or humility. When you reflect upon your own life and all the hardships that you have experienced, how have they grown you? What have they taught you? Is there a recurring theme or lesson you have encountered over and over again? When we begin to reflect on those experiences, we will eventually come to recognize what soul lesson we've been trying to purposefully learn and experience and heal in this lifetime. She said the second purpose that was revealed to her was that as souls coming to the earth, we all come wanting to be a light in some way. We come with a purpose to contribute to the betterment of the earth. We all want to make a positive contribution. We all want to contribute to the good. She was told sometimes souls get way off track from their original purpose and they forget the good they wanted to do when they came here. But she said, we all need to call ourselves back to get back on track of what good we wanted to offer to the world, whether it was to bring joy to the earth, or awareness to the earth, or encouragement, or justice, or peace, or more hope to one another. When Ismina crossed over, she was told that she had completed her original mission, and that's why she had found herself on the other side. But she was told that if she wanted to return to her life, she could, and she could accomplish a second mission, which was to write a book on her experience of life after death, to help people to be less afraid of death, because, as they told her, people on earth are so afraid of death that it is making them very destructive and angry. So go back and tell them there's nothing to be afraid of. So, my friends, Jesus called us together to be in community so that we can help one another remember what lesson it was we came to learn, and so that together we can each add to the light of the world. "You are the light of the world," said Jesus. "Don't hide your light," he said. Each of us are called to grow and expand our souls and learn our lessons, and then as we learn them, use that lesson to contribute to the betterment of the earth and allow the love light of our souls to shine forth and bring a more collective light to the world. I knew a man named Don Coombs. He volunteered in the tech room at Deer Park United. And Don confirmed for me that our souls really do come with a purpose to the earth. Just before I moved here 4 years ago to Parksville, I went to go visit Don, who was dying of cancer, in a palliative hospice outside of Calgary. His wife, Kathleen, was there, another beautiful soul, and she gave me permission to share his story. When Don was lying there in bed, I asked him, "Don, what is it that you think that your soul came to learn in this lifetime?" He had an immediate response. He didn't hesitate at all. He said, "I believe I came to the earth to learn how to love better. The struggles in my childhood taught me what love is and what love is not. My marriage has taught me how to love better. Being a father to Tristan and Alicia has taught me how to love better. And my whole life, when I look back on it, has been about learning to become a more loving person than when I first came. My soul needed to learn how to love better. And I feel, as I'm leaving this earth, that I've done a pretty good job of trying to learn about unconditional love and offering that in the latter half of my life." And you know what? At Don's funeral, each person spoke about what a loving person Don was without having known his purpose. Don lived out his twofold purpose. His soul came to learn about love, and then he shared that love with others. So in this coming week, I invite each of us to reflect on our twofold purpose. What is it that you have come to experience and learn? And then in turn, how have you used that to contribute to the good of the world by sharing that lesson with others? Is it to discern and seek justice? Is it to offer hope? Is it to add to people's faith? Is it to serve and help make people's load a little lighter? Why have you come? Right now, our world is in desperate need of people living out their holy purposes. In this time of darkness and confusion, we need more light. And I know that you are light. So go forth to live into your twofold purpose and fill this world with more light. We need it now more than ever. May it be so. Amen. And we sing together, "I am the light of the world."
Bye.
In order for these to be truly the prayers of the people, I'm going to invite you in the next coming weeks to mail me at minister@kucparksville.ca some of your prayers so that I can incorporate them into the prayer, since I really can't ask you, because then people will be calling out and droplets will go into the air. So I'm going to ask you to email me those prayers so that I can pray them on your behalf. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask you to help us discover our purpose if we do not know it. Bring to light and memory all those things that we have learned as children and as teenagers and as young adults, in midlife, and even into old age. Remind us of our learnings and lessons, that we might live out the purpose you have called us to. Help us to be a light in this world. O God, we call.
O God.
We pray this day for all those who are on our hearts, who are ill of body or mind or of heart or spirit. We pray for healing for all those who are struggling and suffering, for those who are suffering around the world from this terrible virus, for those who are undergoing cancer treatment, for those who are struggling with life-threatening disease, for those who are struggling with anxiety or depression, for all those who are ill, we pray for healing and strengthening and restoration and renewal. We pray this day for all those among us who are grieving, loved ones, those who are no longer with us, and who leave an empty hole in our lives. We pray this day for all those who are experiencing brokenness and loss in relationships, or in employment, or in health. For all those who are going through difficulties this day and who are losing hope, we pray for their strength, that they may find purpose and meaning. O God, we call. Pray this day for the country south of our border. We pray for their peace as a country. We pray for hope for their people. We pray for wisdom and justice and compassion to prevail. We pray this day for all those who are undergoing hurricane or high winds, to our Atlantic neighbors, coastal peoples. We pray for their welfare. We pray this day for all those who are rebuilding their lives because of disaster and devastation. pray for their strength, that they too may find meaning and purpose in their endeavor. We pray this day for all world leaders, that they may lead with compassion and grace and fairness and equity for all. We pray for researchers and scientists, for healthcare workers, for all essential workers. We pray for safety in these dangerous times, for all those who are rebuilding their homes and their lives. We pray, O God, we call. And now, in the silence, we bring before you other concerns that weigh on our hearts as we lift them to you. O God, in this sacred space, we feel the power of your grace as we offer our hope for your world. Guide us with your grace throughout each of our lives. This we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray, not out loud, but in our minds and hearts, as I pray on your behalf. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I think this hymn was one of the most beautiful hymns ever written. She's a reminder that we have all been called. We've been called to the earth to make it a better place. We've been called to grow our souls and to become more and more in the likeness of Christ, more and more in the likeness of our God. And so we sing in our hearts once more and give ourselves over to that purpose. I, the Lord of sea and sky, here am I.
No.
Go forth, knowing that you are not only held in God's heart, but in the heart of each one of us. Go forth to live your purpose, for you have been called. And as you go forth, may the deep love of God surround you, and the wisdom and the kindness of the Christ guide you, and the Holy Spirit fill you and give you courage and strength and resilience for this day and every day. Amen.
Yeah.